All right, now it's on.
Regular meeting and special public hearing of North Bend Planning Commission, Thursday, September 26, 2013, at City Hall. Minutes August 8th, 2013, Planning Commission meeting. Can I have a motion? Approve as written.
Motion to approve.
Second. Somebody give me a second. One of you choose.
I'll do second.
Second. Great. Questions? Corrections? All in favor? All right, motion carries. Public comment on non-agenda items. I'm getting much better. I see some members of the public. Have something for us. If so, please feel free to share, but I'll ask you to state your name and address for the record.
You don't have to.
Go for it. You don't have to speak if you don't want to.
My name is Eddie Plana. My address is 16241 9th Avenue Northeast Shoreline.
In Shoreline.
Okay. Yes, and I'm here because I am a candidate for the planning position. I have an interview in October 10th. So I came to...
Our planning commission.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not
planning department.
Planning department. Oh, sorry. Kicked off.
I'm thinking Shoreline's a little out of our district. Okay, great.
Yeah, so I came here to check out what the commission's up to, and I listened to some of the meetings on the MP3s that you guys have.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's a great. Great thing to listen to while your baby's crying. So. Yeah.
Great. Great. Well, thank you. Great that you came.
Thank you.
Yes, Travis.
I am Travis Bridgman, 713 Ogle Avenue Northeast. I have some kind of refreshed information. We talked about that orange area at several meetings, and at one I recommended it to be a senior housing, because that seemed to be the biggest demand for that area. And now, actually, after kind of wandering around, talking to so many civic workers, teachers, firemen, just all sort of the kind of new hire civic servants here, and a lot of them have to live far away. And we have so much housing, but for some reason they're unable to get into that new big brick-style housing. So it would be really cool if we took a big section, and it kind of like government housing, but more like just fitted towards their needs, and built that whole complex so the teachers could live there, the firemen could live there, and then it'd be like a whole community just with basically city personnel. And I bet that there's enough need that it would be thriving, and then people could live here and work here and be here.
Thanks for sharing that. Anything else? Anyone else? I'm assuming you're together.
Oh, no.
No? Sorry.
Yeah. I'm Julie, and I live in Maple Valley, actually, 25456 on Lake Wilderness. And I'm here for the same reason he is. I have an interview for the planning position also, and I thought I'd come down and see what some of the issues were in North Bend, what's going on in the city.
Fantastic. Well, I'm 0-3 in my assumptions tonight. All right.
You want a second?
Yeah, you can. Okay.
You raise your hand. You just speak.
Agenda item 4, introduction amendments to the Parks Capital Facilities Plan in the Parks element of the Comprehensive Plan as recommended by the Parks Commission. Did you need to give us an overview?
Yeah, and you've got right here an update. So I'll go through those in a moment. But what you have before you is the Parks Commission's recommendation on amendments to the Parks Capital Facilities Plan. And the reason that these amendments are being provided is that in order to expend park impact fee revenue on any project that the city wishes to do for a park, those projects have to be on the Parks Capital Facilities Plan. And there's a couple of projects that are priority projects for the city that the Planning Commission's made a recommendation on to add to that plan so that the city can use impact fee revenue for those projects in the future. So the first one of those is the Downtown Civic Plaza. I think you guys have been briefed before on the city's idea to construct a municipal campus right downtown. That would be ground floor retail, second floor municipal services, council chambers, etc. And then as a part of that, there would be a plaza and parking area in the back. The plaza would be for outdoor concerts, art shows, and things like that, and just a central gathering place. So the project is quite large and expensive, and it's not anticipated that the project would just be funded through park impact fee revenue, but that should be an option for the council to consider as it in the bundle of different funding sources. So they'll be going after a bond likely, possibly after some grants, and then this would be a part of that overall funding package. The second one is the Torkson Park restroom. So the Little League is interested to partner with the city on a number of improvements out at Torkson Park, and they will be funding some backstop and field improvements out there, rebuilding the backstops at the four quad fields. And together with that, they're interested in working with the city on building a new restroom concession stand at the center of the quad. So right now we've got the really old kind of dilapidated restroom way off in the corner of the park. So it's a long ways for Little League kids to go to the bathroom. So this would just rebuild everything into a nice cohesive whole. And to fund that again with park impact fee revenue, it needs to be on the capital facilities plan. The amendments that you have before you are shown in yellow. And the Parks Commission met last night, and they've considered some discussion that we had with the Sidy Metropolitan Park District. We're considering how our capital facilities plan meshes with their capital facilities plan, because they have partnership funds that they want to be able to provide to the city for doing some of these projects. It benefits not just the city residents, but these projects benefit the residents of the park district as a whole, and so they're interested to partner with us on some of these things. So we talked to Travis at the MPD about what are your priorities, what are your district and your commissioner's priorities, and based on that, we made some suggested amendments that the Parks Commission considered and recommended. The primary change is with William H. Taylor Park. We wanted to increase the level of improvement at that park. So I don't know if you guys have heard of this before, but one of the initial plans is to create a new kind of entry to the park off of the terminus of Ballarat. Right now it just kind of dead ends into a row of trees and the railroad tracks. And to actually get into the park, you kind of have to work your way around the depot. This idea would re-landscape that area, put in kind of a plaza and a platform crossing of the tracks with a terminal flagpole, so that as you're looking down Ballarat, you see this new entrance into the park, and it's much more inviting. It connects the park better to downtown, and it cleans it up a lot. There's been ongoing problems with the vagrancy in the park, and this would be a way to clean that up and discourage that a bit.
Does that include the recent city initiative to put cameras throughout the city to spy on us?
I haven't been a part of that one. I don't know. But adding to that also would be at the back end of the park, improving the connection to down to Sidy Park. Right now, I've got a couple pictures that illustrate this. Right now at the back of the park, which kind of funnels down towards Sidy Park, there's a crossing, and this is the entrance then down to Sidy Park, but they're really disconnected right now, so it doesn't naturally lead one into the other. And it also is kind of the back driveway of the house right here. You can see, this one actually shows it a bit better, the trail comes along from the park, and it just kind of dead ends into what seems like somebody's backyard space. So what some of the improvements at the back of the park would be to more clearly define a pedestrian route, clean that up with some landscaping, with some signage that says William H. Taylor Park this way, Sidy Park this way, and kind of links it all together.
Does the park district have property up to Park Street that doesn't?
They are working, we're assisting them with getting an easement from the county. There's a little sliver that's owned by King County Roads. Uh-huh. And they've got a maintenance shed right there.
Yeah.
And they just need that easement, and then they would pave a pedestrian pathway through there that would connect us to the street.
Does King County even use that shed?
They do, apparently. Not much, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they actually asked for some ridiculous amount to grant that easement. But Lonnie's going to work with Kathy Lambert and try to get that straightened out. So those are some amendments to William H. Taylor Park. One other amendment that the Parks Commission recommended was adding the Dahlgren Park to the list. So you guys recall back about 2 years ago, you worked on the Tanner Landing Master Plan Overlay District, and that provided a little bit of horse trading, some zoning benefits to the property owner there in the employment park zone to allow some commercial and residential uses. And in exchange, that developer, upon application of their first development project, would dedicate 2.5 acres of parkland and right-of-way at the eastern edge of that property in order to allow the construction of a road that would connect through to King County's Tanner Landing Park. So we, at the time that happened, we didn't amend the park's capital facilities plan, realizing that that's probably a long way off. The county has since stepped up their efforts, and they're doing their site planning this year and planning to construct that park summer 2014. And they want to get that road through so that you can have a direct connection into the park. So we're interested then, if that's going to happen, we'd like to try to do our park improvements at the same time so that the two parks adjacent can work as a whole. So it doesn't seem like a separate North Bend Park and a King County Park. In order to fund those improvements then with park impact fee revenue, we needed to get it on the list. So you can see that that's put in 2017. Oh, the silly table didn't include the years for you, I thought. It's there, but it's really finicky in printing it. So if you look at the columns going over, it starts with 2014 and so on. So we put in just $500,000 as a placeholder for that. So a couple clarifications on the table itself. By putting a project in a particular year on the capital facilities plan doesn't lock it into that year, and nor does putting a particular value lock you into no more than that value. Those are just estimated years and estimated values for planning purposes. The key is having it on the capital facilities plan, because under state law, to use any kind of impact fee revenue, that particular project has to be on the city's capital facilities plan. A couple other minor amendments are provided in here, rearranging some of the years based on anticipated project schedules, some updates based on more recent knowledge about project costs, and other such amendments that you can see in yellow there that the Parks Commission made last night to switch around particular projects. So at that, turn it over to Planning Commission discussion.
Questions? Is there any reason that we're not taking action on this tonight? Or any reason
it needs a public hearing.
It does need to go to a public hearing. Okay.
And that won't be at your next Planning Commission meeting, but the one following, just because of hearing schedule and getting it to the paper.
Okay. Okay. Moving on. Recap council action on recent Planning Commission recommendations.
Yeah. Just thought you guys have kind of requested this in the past, and thought we could get into more of a habit of putting this regularly on the agenda, just to let you know what's going on as it leaves the Planning Commission. So the miscellaneous public properties rezone for the city properties that over by the Moose Lodge, the Public Works, and then the Post Office, that the council approved, so that will be effective upon adoption of the comp plan amendments. Same thing for the Tanner Pit land use amendments, to rezone that to single-family residential. Same with the Tanner Junction Master Plan Overlay District. That's been approved, and that just takes effect immediately. That's not comp plan dependent. The Dahlgren rezone and the CenturyLink rezone. So you recall those, Dahlgren being over on North Bend Way, CenturyLink being over by Safeway.
Where's the Dahlgren?
Right.
The Torgerson.
Torgerson, thank you.
Those that one went through.
Those have not gone through yet. The council requested taking those to work study to understand the issues a little bit more. They wanted to think about how it relates, the how their CenturyLink amendments relate to annexation. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things that the Planning Commission was weighing as well. And then with the Dahlgren one, I think they just wanted to consider a little bit more about the... I've got too many names floating around in my mind. On how that related to some of the comments that were received at the hearing. So those will go back to work study on October 22nd and then to council at the first November council meeting.
What happened, Mike, if anything? We had, I just made a note, the comp plan amendments. 6-7. She was awesome.
Now we don't have a quorum.
Yeah.
Voted properly everywhere.
She, yeah. Good job.
Yeah. The comp plan amendments, there was three dockets, 6, 7, and 8. And I think you mentioned the post office, but you're talking about the post office proper, not Park Street.
Park Street did not move forward to council because that was a staff-initiated amendment, and the Planning Commission recommended denial on that.
Okay.
So at that point, there's no need to bring it forward to council.
Okay. I just remember in our last meeting, agenda item 6, if I'm reading this correctly, so there was a motion, Fancher made a motion,
under food, ended up bringing.
Yeah, I'm reading this again. So I'm, this was what you just said about the post office.
Yep.
City owned property. Second clarification.
Okay. Impact fees. There was some discussion on that previously. So school impact fees are going to council on October 15th. That comes each year before the council when the school sends us their new capital facilities plan, and the impact fees are based on that. So the cottage housing currently is classified as single family and assessed the impact fee of a single family home, which is 8,000 some odd. Staff's recommending in those amendments that it be reclassified as multifamily because that's more akin to the type of impacts that you get from a cottage house. And so council will consider that and hopefully that happens.
And does that only apply then in the cottage zoning?
No, that's cottages regardless of where they're concerned.
Okay, so by definition of the cottage, then not the zone.
Great. Yeah, that meets the criteria of a cottage.
I assume this cottage housing thing, it was one of my pets, I guess. If we start using fees and terminology that relate to multifamily, we're getting real close to somebody coming in and saying, well, we'll just build multifamily.
Well, this is not... It's not classifying it as multifamily.
Right.
It's just saying cottages and multifamily are assessed.
You see the slippery slope I'm talking about.
Well, I don't see that. What I see is the slope that I've been angling for, which is to recognize that they are more akin to multifamily in their impact on the city.
Sure.
And if we want to encourage a smaller footprint, we need to reflect that.
Yeah.
So
I'm all for that. I was going to follow up with just a statement, too, about the impact fees in general. I can't, out of the top of my head, say what impact fees are across the land, but I'm going to wager we're on the top side at the total number.
Council's considering that right now, and
got a nice chart I can send around about that.
That one's got to be up there.
What is our? Because our unit is 800. I mean, there's cities that have $15,000 impact fees.
Oh, I'm talking total.
Like we're transportation alone.
No, I'm not knocking down, but I think I saw the math calculation here for something on.
Yeah, I haven't been in on those discussions, but from what I've heard, we're completely kind of mid-range in terms of impact fees compared to other jurisdictions.
Yeah, I'm too far away from it in years to have any fresh data, but certainly in the past, we were not one of the higher. I remember pushing pretty hard for a pretty stiff parks impact fee when I was on the Parks Commission, and I noted that when you guys sent us out some updated information on that, that it actually jumps out as a pretty significant portion of the total package. And so now for the Planning Commission, and the things I'm going, wow, that feels big. But it was an important element to what we were trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only speak to the transportation one, which is extremely... We're on the very bottom there.
Council
just looking at transportation impacts.
Council will be considering the transportation impact fee shortly. Actually, work study on October 22nd. And they are considering increasing the transportation impact fee, but they're also their recommendation also to them will be to classify cottages again as a multifamily.
So they will classify it as a multifamily and not say multifamily and cottage fall under this fee.
That's the way, yeah.
I mean, I think that sounds better than to...
Not to classify
it as... I mean, depending on how you look at it and the impacts from certain impacts that might be more like multifamily, but from like a, in my mind, a transportation impact, you're not going to come in and say, I'm going to use multifamily use on 20 cottage homes because you're going to each have their own trips to those homes. But I think that's good.
So if I could just pound the gavel one more time on this idea, $30,000, that's what the developer has to pay to get his permit, correct?
That's what the developer is paying in impact fees to make sure that the city is not subsidizing development. So that the idea is development pays for development. Pays for its own cost.
It's paid on permit, right? Building
yes.
Permit. Mm-hmm. So there's, for a $300,000 retail price building at the end of the day, it's 10% up front. It sits there for a year while he builds the product in order to be able to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's basically going to borrow that money against the future price. So I'm just keep bringing it up because we want the fees absolutely to run the city, but at the same time, the end user of that product is going to pay more to move in.
I think one of your key points, which is around timing more than the dollar amount, mm-hmm. which is, and when does the impact actually occur, and if the concept of many of the impacts is it occurs once there's actually a homeowner, then there's a fair amount of logic that it might be on occupancy versus permit.
Yeah.
I don't know of any jurisdictions doing it different than permit, do you?
Yeah, the challenge with occupancy is it gets into going after the homeowner as opposed to the builder.
Right.
So.
I get it from the city's perspective too. I'd rather have my money and go to sleep at night than to worry about getting it later.
Well, let me clarify. When I'm saying occupancy, I'm talking about occupancy permit, not actual physical closing on the home. I'm talking about when you get your sign off that you now have a completed home.
Something
and I would even go further. Because all the construction financing I know of has very clear cut and dry funding allocations. Mm-hmm. There's no reason we couldn't tie to that, construction of foundation, construction of framing, mechanical, whatever, mm-hmm. even occupancy permit for the final payment. That way, mm-hmm. everything the builder or developer does fits his timeline. Mm-hmm. Particularly the smaller, short plat scenarios where, he's not going to hedge fund managers to get his money. He's probably coming out of his own pocket. So that could help us a lot, kind of mitigate and make things go smoothly. And if we took that concept, tuned it in, and maybe focused it on the places where we want development to happen, there's another benefit that we could apply to the kinds of things that the city says, hey, we would like to see this kind of development here, and because we would, we're going to do this. We're going to tear out this requirement.
We want to go back and look at cleaning up our impact fee ordinances all across the board to make them a little clearer, easier, and to address some of those issues in the coming year.
So. Yeah, excellent.
Thanks for listening.
Okay. Just a couple other things. The cottage housing, you recall that the council was considering whether or not to amend the size limitations and some of the other things with that. So they just renewed the moratorium in order to provide more time to hear from developers. We've got a couple of cottage developers and other home developers that are putting together specific proposals for amendments that they'd like to see that they feel would still retain the mix and the diversity of housing while easing some of those restrictions on size. So the council has to hear from that, and that will likely come back to the Planning Commission.
Will
you repeat your comment about moratorium?
There's a moratorium. Right now, the issue is that standard single-family, could be built in cottage zone. And the council imposed a moratorium to say, no, that was not our intent when we adopted these standards. Nobody can submit an application until we've addressed that. They just renewed that, as we haven't heard yet from developers and need more time to prepare amendments. And then coming soon to the Planning Commission will be amendments that the council's requested on the street widths in the low-impact development street section. So you recall, Planning Commission made recommendations that council adopted about 2 or 3 years ago to get to having a low-impact street standard that included bioswales. Mm-hmm. That included one parking lane, parking on one side. The council's request is to widen that out to parking on both sides. Mm-hmm. They feel that there's...
Which essentially defeats the entire purpose of the ordinance, but yeah, okay.
It would still be an LID street section in that you'd have bioswales, but they've requested that the street be wider.
Has the engineering been completed to say what the impact to the bioswale is of adding another lane?
Well, the bioswale is also adjustable, so the requirement of the development is that it meet the King County Surface Water Design Manual, so yes, they can accommodate that in the bioswales.
What I remember is, though, that the engineering department was needing to run calculations on what that impact would be, you know, how much more land there, how much bigger the bioswale would have to be to accommodate the extra runoff.
Yeah.
That's been completed.
That's not. That's Public Works is looking at that right now.
Okay.
But the bioswale standard doesn't necessarily allow the developer to accommodate all their stormwater in the bioswale. So they may have to also provide some kind of backup stormwater pond that the bioswales drain to if they can't address all their requirements within the swales.
So the amendments, they're putting together amendments to come back to us for review.
Council has just requested that the issue come back to them with amendments. So we'll be bringing something from Public Works to you for your consideration. And then you'd make your recommendation, yay or nay, to the council.
Seems like there's lots of current stuff going on that would be impacted by this.
It all depends on whether or not it's...
It's changed.
No, whether it's...
They're grandfathered at submittal of preliminary plat, correct?
Yeah, at a complete application.
At complete application.
Yeah. Okay. There are some projects, though, that the council may say they've gone far enough in the development of their proposal that even if they're not vested yet, mm-hmm. we'll let that proceed as designed. That's up to council, but that's mm-hmm. from what I've initially heard, that might be the direction they take.
Okay.
Relating to that, we just received the preliminary plat application for the Sagali property. So that's our biggest subdivision. They've got 155 lots, I think.
156.
156.
Last sheet. So that's now been submitted.
Yeah.
That's still the developer, not related to a builder yet.
Okay. Not related to a builder yet. No.
I'm sure things are going on there. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Some more notes. So while you're on there, you'll indulge. Get a few questions related to that on our building permits report. I was noting that, you know, our two largest current plats are now over 80% filled out, so I guess it's good to know that there's more in the pipeline. Mm-hmm. Did the Byron Moore plat, has that moved forward at all?
It has not moved forward right now, but there's a builder very interested in it, so they're currently talking with that property owner.
Where's that?
That's the one that's just north of the trail. And
this is the Byron Mill plat.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And just for your reference, this is the Sigali property.
And I'm presuming that most of these others, you know, I know John Day, Maloney Grove is under construction. RAD development, if that one's under construction. Mm-hmm. Any of the others have gone to
the preliminary plat hearing for Gardner Creek, which is the one that's south of I-90, will be going to the hearing examiner in November. Mm-hmm. And they've got a builder now that's lined up for that.
Okay.
hotel?
Hotel is under review. I'm working on the site plan review right now, and our consultant, Anna Nelson, is working on the rest of the approvals on that.
Any of these other, you mentioned Sigali that came in, any of the others come in, Walker Knapp, John Days, Tanner Pitt, Tom?
The Tanner Pitt, John has let us know he's intending to bring that in, so that'll be coming soon.
We talked about the Tonkin replica, or somewhere I was hearing something about that. Is that
that's
still
in.
On? That's happening?
Under review.
Appreciate that. That was questions I had around permits and zoning. Anybody else?
What about Bartels and the visitor center?
Those are, well, Bartell, as you can see, is progressing along. They're hoping to open, I think, at the end of October.
Yeah, it's soon.
And the visitor center?
The visitor center will be shortly behind that.
And I noted council accepted a lease on it the other day. Mm-hmm. So what's the square footage of that? Do you know?
Visitor center?
Yeah.
It's not very big. I would say probably, guessing just like 900 square feet, but that's just off the top of my head guess.
I got to let the record show Commissioner Fran Scheer arrived.
Just in time to move.
Just move to adjourn.
No, really.
last thing that I had on tonight was, a couple things I wanted to mention. One, the PAW conference coming up on October 15th. I don't know if any of the others have you looked at signing up for that. I actually did through Mike. I'm going to go to that. That's the, what's it called?
Land Use Boot Camp.
Boot Camp.
Yeah,
right. Just boot Camp. Go to Boot Camp.
Yeah,
you're going this one?
You are going?
I looked and I was like, yeah, it's kind of team meeting.
People at work. It's tough. Okay.
Okay. Gary, you're going to have something to say.
No, apologize.
Can I make a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn?
Second.
Second.
All in favor? We're out of here.
I think it's perfect.
It was.
All right.